This is 91.7 WVXU Cincinnati Edition. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. All week, WVXU and WCPO Digital are exploring the business of water in Cincinnati. We invite you to listen to the stories each morning at 6:30 and 8:30, and you'll find more information at WVXU.org and a link to the WCPO stories. Today, we're going to talk with some of the key players and our reporters who have been working on the series. In this first segment, WCPO Digital reporter Lucy May joins me to talk with Executive Director of Confluence, Alan Vickery. We'd like to hear from you, too. You can call us at 513-419-7100 or email us talk@wvxu.org. You also can find us on Facebook and Twitter. Well, thank you both for being here today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Thank you, Marianne. I appreciate it.
You want to start, Lucy?
Yeah.
What shall we ask Alan first?
Well, maybe you could start by explaining what is Confluence?
Confluence is an organization that is designed to bring together, in this particular case, the water technology development assets in this region, and that would be defined as Dayton, Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, and Southeast Indiana, to speed up, promote the development of water technologies to the market, and in so doing, create economic development for this area.
So what are some examples of that?
Well, there are many technologies out there. One that I will note is ultraviolet disinfection. Some of your stories already, I think, have touched on that. That is a technology that, for example, that is gaining great application, particularly in large water systems, but not used much in smaller drinking water systems. And there is 50 or 60 large water systems around the country, but there are thousands of small drinking water systems. And so that's one example of a technology that needs to go forward in application, and there are firms here in Cincinnati that have that technology.
What kind of potential do you think this region has to really grow these kinds of technology in the kind of the water technology sector?
It's hard to define potential. What we know is that the global market for water technologies, depending on which study you look at, ranged currently from $500 billion to $800 billion a year globally. And interestingly enough, growing at a rate of 6 to 8% a year. Reflects literally the global water crisis that we're in. But having the assets that we have here in Cincinnati and have those assets work together, clearly the potential for what we can do for this region and literally for the globe and in water and getting those technologies out is just almost astronomical.
Can you talk a little bit about what those assets are? What makes us such a good place for this?
Well, I'll begin by noting that just this year, the United States government is celebrating 100 years of presence of water research here in Cincinnati. The country's first water research laboratory was located here, the Kettering Research Lab at the University of Cincinnati. And through this history, you have created an intellectual capital among the many skilled scientists and engineers, around that technology challenge. Up in Dayton, there is the Air Force Research Laboratory. They do water. If you're putting troops out in the field, they have to have water, and so they're in that business as well. I was the executive director and chief engineer of ORSANCO, the Ohio River Valley Water Sanitation Commission, up until retirement a couple of years ago. And that organization has a 64-year-old track record in river management and technology application that is unexceeded anywhere. And so you add into that the universities I might mention, the University of Cincinnati, University of Dayton, Northern Kentucky, tremendous schools with technical capability, whether it's in informatics or whether it's in the biosciences or whatever. I have to mention also the utilities here, the water and wastewater utilities that have world-class reputations for innovation. So that's what you've got here, in Cincinnati, along with the supporting businesses, the legal expertise. When you put all that together, there is this suite of capacity that I don't know is exceeded anywhere in the world.
Do you find that a lot of people from other cities then and other communities and other countries want to come here to find out about this, or is it more the people from this area going out across the nation and around the world to share the story?
It's a little bit of both. Certainly the presence of the United States EPA's, one of their principal research laboratories, is a magnet for technology developers and scientists around the world. When I was directing the Ohio River Commission, we often received foreign delegations that were curious about, what we were doing there, and there was always a stop at US EPA. So we've already had this global magnet attraction, you know, in the water technology space. On the other hand, we have businesses here in this general region that are global in nature. Procter & Gamble, of course. Many of their products use water or water-related. Xylem, a multi-billion dollar company, which is outside of Dayton. They manufacture water instrumentation. So we have large businesses, you know, that are global in that nature, and that provides that, in a sense, that platform outreach as well. So we have really both directions in process.
We'd like to invite you, if you have a question or a comment today, to call us at 513-419-7100. You can email questions, talk@wvxu.org, or put them on our Facebook page or send us a tweet.
Alan, can you talk a little bit about what Confluence has done to kind of make this a better place for businesses to grow and, develop those technologies?
Yeah, when we were created in January of 2011 at the encouragement and support of the US EPA and the US Small Business Administration, when we first convened as an entity, as a board of directors, we very quickly concluded that we needed to understand the barriers that exist to the technology development continuum. Unfortunately, it's way too long. It can be upwards of 10, 12, 14 years. And, of course, your cell phone is obsolete in about 6 months. And so that has to change. It has to change because the global water crisis is not abating. It's getting worse. Literally every day we're adding people to the planet. As we got together as Confluence, we felt it was important to focus on what were those barriers? What were those suite of barriers? And we feel comfortable that we know what they are, and we've tried to develop our capacities around them. Such barriers as places for technologies to be tested in the real world, not on a laboratory bench, but in a wastewater plant or a water treatment plant or some other kind of environmental setting. Intellectual property. Technology developers need to have a handle on that so they can protect, if you will, grow their businesses in the context of intellectual property law. Policies of the United States government, they can be helpful and they can be harmful. So we need to really address that so we can help move it along and state agencies. If a technology is ready for prime time, if you will, in a state or in a wastewater treatment plant, the state needs to have it demonstrated to their satisfaction that that technology works. It's sustainable. But the problem is that we have 50 states. And so while one state will approve the technology, you can go across the street, if you will, and they may have to literally perform that demonstration duplicatively again. That has to change. And so these are the suite of barriers we've discovered. Our capacities have been developed around them. So in that context, we have many test beds, we call them, wastewater plants, water treatment plants that have signed on to be potential testing facilities. We are developing relationships with legal expertise here in town for intellectual property. This past January, we signed a truly national landmark agreement with the state environmental protection agencies for Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky, a relationship now through this memorandum of cooperation with Confluence to work with us, you know, in technology development. And the implication, I think, is interesting to touch on, because if the technology needs to be proven, you know, for state deployment, and if you have three states working with that technology developer and you have one set of testing protocols, right, and you successfully negotiate that and all three states approve, your market, you know, immediately becomes much, much larger than one state. And when you start thinking about that, you can understand how that would serve to attract people you know, to this region and to the capacities we have to help them move along.
What about the idea of the states often wanting to compete one against one another for business? I know there's cooperation in some areas. Have you found that there have been any problems with the states really trying to compete against one another and causing more barriers in that regard?
Not within our discussions and dialogue and activities. We tend to want to be and should be and are very non-biased, in that realm. If a technology might come into this area or a firm might want to locate here and it's through the presence of Confluence, what we would do is advise the various economic development agencies, Dayton, Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, Southeast Indiana, and so they can and provide, in a sense, the level competitive playing field for that. And that's how you do something like that. We cannot be biased and should not be biased in what we're trying to do. And the idea of having this regional cooperation with Dayton and Cincinnati, Northern Kentucky, I understand is literally unprecedented. We're very pleased about that and think that this is really where this region needs to go in the future.
You talked, Alan, about the assets and the test beds, and one of the places that I got to go as part of this reporting that was just fascinating was the Test and Evaluation Center that the EPA has near the MSD plant. Can you talk a little bit about that as a resource? Because my impression is that, especially for smaller businesses that really need to do some R&D at a high level but may not have the labs in their own facilities, that's a real resource.
Yes, this is. It's located at the Cincinnati MSD's Mill Creek Wastewater Treatment Plant, large warehouse-type building. And if you walked in there, you'd see all of these pipings and devices in there. And it's an entity ultimately of the US EPA research labs here. And so they use that among for other things is to test new technologies. And EPA can develop such things as, they call them CRADAs, Cooperative Research and Development Agreements, with technology developers, you know, within which you can utilize that facility to test. And let's be clear, a US EPA in your portfolio, you know, in your testing is very attractive, you know, to in the market, not only here, but literally around the world.
How will you define success? You've been at this for, a couple of years now? Confluence has been in existence. What do you see 5 years down the road? What will you define as successful?
I think we'll be successful when, and we are already successful, actually, as there are many metrics you can establish. And our organization does have a suite of metrics, such as numbers of conferences that we hold or are held here because of this region being a technology center for the world. A lot of people want to say, well, how many jobs have you created? That can be actually hard to define because water technology and jobs are not necessarily businesses that are in the water business. If you're making circuit boards, you know, for any technology, it could be aviation, but you can use that technology also in a piece of water equipment. Well, are you in the water technology business? You are. See, so when you really, you know, trying to put up kind of an even handle about that, in a sense, is very, very difficult to do. But when I see and have seen already the collaborations that have been established, such as the collaboration between the University of Cincinnati and University of Dayton to establish the Great Miami Aquifer, one of the foremost aquifers in the country, quantity and quality, they're working to establish that as a, quote, observatory. So you can test measurements, modeling, all this kind of thing. That cooperation was spurred through Confluence. See? And there are so many things that have happened, the small entrepreneurial firms that have been connected with another party because of that. It's hard to really kind of define that in a very nice sense. But clearly, people come up to me as president of Confluence and say, Confluence did this, and I didn't even know it. And that's really most gratifying at all. I think that our ultimate success, quite frankly, will be somebody on a plane you know, next to somebody, and then that person says, well, where are you from? Well, I'm from Cincinnati. By the way, did you know that Cincinnati is the water technology capital of the world? Once we get there, I think we've made our ultimate success.
And we're out of time. Thank you so much for joining us today.
It's been a great pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Lucy, too.
Thank you, Marianne.
We've been talking today about the business of water in Cincinnati. All week, we're featuring a series we've produced in partnership with WCPO Digital called Liquid Assets. My guests were WCPO Digital reporter Lucy May and Executive Director of Confluence, Alan Vickery. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment about the Greater Cincinnati Water Works. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100. Email us, talk@wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU.